Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Boris Voyachich. Now, if that name sounds familiar, but not quite what you've heard before, it's because it's his son, Nick, that we've had on the program in the past. And we are delighted now, having interviewed Nick and enjoyed those conversations, to get to talk with the dad, because he's got a wonderful new book out that I recommend. It's called Raising the Perfectly Imperfect Child. Great title. Facing challenges with strength, courage, and hope. And Boris, God has certainly given you an education through your life story, and I appreciate your sharing now with others some of the lessons that God has given you.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. He has certainly taught me quite a, me and my wife as well.
Yeah.
He taught us quite a lesson. It was quite a journey. And indeed, in the end, we have learned to be blessed, and we have learned to have developed our strength and faith in God, as well as with His power, we are able to implant that same faith in God and trust in Nick, into Nick and his
yes.
life. And certainly that has brought a lot of fruit that we can see impacting and influencing others and teaching others to really trust God in every situation.
Now, Boris, you and your wife were believers when your son was born. You were serving the Lord in ministry, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And
yes.
And then you have this child who, you know, folks who know him now know that he is a remarkable, talented, anointed young man being used by God, but you didn't know that when he was born, did you?
No, we did not. We did not expect any deformality based on all of the medical examinations during pregnancy and all of that. So we were pretty much assured that everything is normal, like mm-hmm. everybody else, and you just go through a normal birth, and we were expecting what we call a normal child.
Right. And so when Nick was born, and he didn't have arms or legs, what was the impact initially on you and your wife?
It was very much a shock and disbelief. We just thought it is a bad dream. This can't be for real.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning and you think, you know, that that thing will be gone, just like a bad dream.
Right.
But no, and then it, you know, turned out to be a reality, and so we had to face it. This is for real. This is not a dream.
Yeah. Now you were kind of in a state of shock there initially.
Yes, very much so, because we did not expect that. We were expecting a normal birth, a normal child, normal delivery. Just like everybody else, you know, generally speaking,
yep.
people would expect everything to go normal and end up to be a nice, happy ending.
Yeah.
Whereas with us, at this time, unfortunately, though our first child, the birth of a child did not get the welcome like everybody else would. You know, it
yeah.
became more of a grieving rather than a happy occasion.
Yes. Well, did you question God when this happened?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was the first, after the shock, we just, you know, the first question, first thought that came to my mind was, you know, why is this? Why God? Why was this child given to me with no arms and legs?
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose? Is this a punishment to me, or is this, you know, how is this child going to live? And all kinds of things like that were coming through my mind. And I just, you know, kept on asking, but apparently I could not really find an answer to that question, as we even asked the medical staff in due course. We were not given real answers at all. And even today, to the to our knowledge and to our surprise, basically there is no medical explanation as to why. It is simply something went wrong in the mutation, as they say, that can happen. And this is one of those, as they say, that happens.
Yeah. Did you find out about anyone else who also didn't have any limbs?
At that time, no, we did not have anybody exactly like that, but we did go through the social workers in the hospital at the time and inquiring about anybody else that may have a child with the limb deficiencies similar to Nick, to see, you know, how they have adapted, how they have adjusted, and what the child, how the child is coping and so on. So we had only one or two referrals. But the children were already older, and certainly they had some parts of the limbs, so that it was not really exactly what Nick would face. And certainly what we've seen was not that encouraging, and it certainly showed us that Nick would have even greater challenges having really no limbs at all. And,
right.
And, you know, that is what we have faced.
Yes. What were you told about his potential at that time?
Well, there were different things as far as his lifespan. They were talking about that possibly he may not even live that long, which personally I must say at the time I felt that, you know, God, you better take him because it'll be better for him than to, you know, face the world in this condition. That's really how initial reaction and initial perception of that I had for his life. But the mostly they were really just talking about his medical, and they looked at him and they're saying generally physically he was all okay from what I can assess, apart from they wouldn't know about his mental capacity, they won't know about his speech and so on. But everything else seems to be fairly normal apart from, you know, no limbs.
I just want to be sure, again, some of our listeners may have come into the broadcast a few moments late. We're talking with Boris Vujicic, and Boris is the father of Nick Vujicic. And if you haven't, if you don't know who Nick is, if you're saying, you've had him on the program and I don't know who he is, well, you need to listen to the program more often. Nick Nick is a tremendously gifted and powerfully anointed speaker and author, and it's been our joy to have him on the program. And I think I can accurately say at this point his dad, Boris, who's our guest today, you're now working for Nick, is that right?
Yes, I do work part-time for him, and I'm generally in the background with some finance and information systems. That's basically what I'm doing, and certainly I'm there for him for whatever else that he may want to come and, you know, consult with me.
Well, it's marvelous. God has a wonderful sense of humor, because I know when this little child was born with no limbs, you didn't say, he's going to grow up to be a best-selling author and someday I can work for him.
Jim, there was nothing further from the truth.
yeah, I'm sure. Well, now you say you figured out how to raise him. Did you find a lot of support through your church where you were a leader?
Yes, we did have support. It was mainly trial and error, really, because we had no experience. That was our first child, first rearing any child. Any parent, you know, learns from the first one, and that is a natural sort of process. In our case, yes, we tried to then work with any agencies and the medical staff that we could find, as I said, and consulting and looking with some of the others. but the majority of the support very much came from the families and church. And that, I think, helped a great deal to Nick in establishing and developing his own personality.
Praise God.
Because as a child, he wasn't aware of him being different to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And having these other people and other children in Sunday school and so on that were, you know, accepting of him.
Yes.
And playing, that to him, I think, was very, and I believe it is very important for any social development skills for a child like that. So that was, I think, a big plus for him before he actually faced the school time.
Amen. Where did you find spiritual encouragement during those early years? Was there any scripture that was especially helpful to you?
Yes. In the end, with all the frustration and all the questions that I had, in the end, we had to learn to accept. You know, like Job said, God gave and God took away. It is something that we have to learn to come to terms to accept the challenge, the reality in life, and really move on and pray for God's help, because he did promise that he is with us and will be with us even to the end of the world. And
Amen.
So in any circumstances, any space, any situation that we are in, he says that he will provide in every trial a way of escape,
mm-hmm.
or provide the additional help. And I believe that God has been faithful in that regard, but we have to be also trusting and patient to
mm-hmm.
see that come to fruition.
Amen. Now, you write in your book, and I think this is a beautiful statement, Nick seemed incomplete at birth, but it was our perception that was flawed.
Yes. Like I mentioned, like we all as human beings, what we term as normal, what we define as normal,
right.
We would expect him to have arms and legs to be what we call now normal or complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is our perception in that regard, how we define perfection or how we define normal or what is acceptable to us and so on, and what one can or cannot do. There are limitations because of those perceptions that we have. And this is what exactly I felt initially when I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was incomplete. I thought he will have a very difficult life, and he will be immobile completely. He will be spending whatever length of time that he has of his life. He'll be just lying flat on his back and
mm-hmm.
bed without being to be able to roll over, sit up, or do anything. And that is really my limitation that I've seen and my perception. But God has showed me in all of that time that in the end, as you can see Nick today,
mm-hmm.
that actually he is able to move, he is able to live a very successful and fulfilling life and a happy life despite of the lack of limbs, which really, that is what is an amazing thing to me, even
Amen.
As a father.
Amen.
And I believe to many others.
Amen. Well, I love the fact that you deal very honestly, not only with the events of your life and Nick's life, but you deal honestly with your struggles, with your feelings, with the challenges you've faced, because as you note, the majority, the vast majority of parents of children who are physically challenged end up divorcing. 80 to 90% end in divorce. And my wife and I, our first child was born with spina bifida. He's a paraplegic, confined to a wheelchair. He's had over 40 surgeries. His challenges are different than Nick's, many of them. But many of the challenges that you describe in your book, my wife and I would be able to relate to very well, as far as trying to deal with all the medical realities, all the different types of medical care that you've got to kind of work your way through, finding what's best for your child, developing relationships with caregivers. I just want to be sure our listeners know this book is filled. It's not just of interest for somebody who has a child with physical challenges. This is a book that is filled with godly wisdom and powerful testimony that would bless the heart of any parent. Because as you state, he was your first child. God gave you two more, and in some ways, Nick was almost easier than the other two. Is that right?
Yes, a bit cheaper, as I say. You know, didn't have to buy him shoes. And
I'm glad you have a sense of humor. I can tell where Nick got it. That's great. God has given you three precious children, three gifts. The Bible says, consider your children a gift from the Lord. And as you look back now, you see that Nick was a very special gift to you, wasn't he?
Yes, indeed, he was, and he is, especially now, as I said. He was a way to teach me, I think, and to teach both my wife and I, real values, appreciation, faith in God and trust in God, and learning really how to be strong in the midst of any storms that we may face. And the fact that you've mentioned about your own personal and your wife's personal experience with your child, I would also suggest, in, I don't know if you have written a book yet, but I think, like Nick was telling me, Dad, why don't you write a book, and so on. He was on me, at me all the time, and I think it would be a great asset if you write from your perspective. As you say, there is a common thread, I believe, in all of us in raising children with special needs. But there is also some very special and unique situations and things that you can provide that could provide both an inspiration and assistance to those who might be facing exactly a very, very closely similar situation to that of yours.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. And let me mention some of the things that Boris shares in this book. He talks about the importance of keeping your marriage strong in the midst of great stress if you're in this situation. He talks about the need for parents of children with special needs to be able to grieve without guilt upon learning of your child's disability. And then he helps us move toward acceptance and adjusting expectations without losing heart or hope, despite the additional stress and costs involved. And believe me, having a child with special needs is very expensive. But by God's grace, there are resources available. He also talks about navigating the medical maze and becoming your child's chief medical advocate. And that is absolutely vital. Also, choosing the best methods for your child's education and dealing with the inevitable challenges that come with any educational system. Also talks, by the way, about addressing the subject of bullying, which is an area where Nick has been very much a leader in addressing that subject. He also talks about making sure that all siblings of children with special needs also receive the love and attention they need. Your daughter made a statement one time that she wished she had been born without arms or legs so that, like Nick, she wouldn't have to do any chores. Your response was not only to remind her of some of the challenges that Nick does have to face, but you also adjusted your expectations for Nick, didn't you?
Yes, it's very true, because that was a reminder to me not to be partial and have to really look at it, what he can do as well, which also would further stimulate him and develop him to recognize responsibility as well. So yes, we gave him a chore then. We just said there is a vacuum cleaner, you know, as a ducted one, plug in, and you'll be able to vacuum and clean your own room. So it was very interesting, yes, and that is quite a challenge as well, that sometimes we become partial, and Bible is very specific, not only about our children, but even other people, and that includes any individual in the world. We need to treat them as God's gift and God's creation, and we need to love, as it says, each and every one as our neighbor, as our own self. So that was certainly an interesting point that our daughter came up with. She says, "Oh, I'd rather be like him." I said, "Well, at the same time, I told her that, you know, not necessarily. Sometimes we always think that the grass is greener, as we say,
right,
and the things are easier for someone else, but really put yourself in his shoes having no arms and legs, depending on someone else to feed you and this and that. I said, you may not necessarily like that, would you, all your life?
Well, I appreciate your honesty in sharing that, and I appreciate your courage in challenging your son, Nick, to do those chores, to vacuum and to make his own bed. And he had to come up with a way to do it. He had to be a problem solver there, but that helped him in the rest of life. You have been used by God, along with your wife, to raise a champion. And though he didn't have arms and legs, Nick has definitely
been an overcomer. You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
And it's been beautiful.
Pastor Wood is a popular
speaker
for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers.
And so many other people.
If you
a lot of folks think they're having a tough day
and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit
pastorwood.org
and fill out
I've got so much to be thankful for and so little to complain about. I need to get up off of my pity pot and start doing what I've been called to do.
Again, please visit pastorwood.org today.
That's Pastor Wood. Looking at other people's difficulties and challenges and struggles that they have teaches us to appreciate what we have. And I used to say the same thing to our children as they were growing up, because my background is back in Yugoslavia, that I was born and under communist rule, and my parents were not well off and all that, so we had to immigrate and get out of there. And I used to tell them, you know, you don't know what it means to be hungry and not to have anything to eat, or you don't have really food and clothes and whatever. And they kind of, you know, look at me very strangely, until Nick and my other son Aaron went to Africa, South Africa. And when they went there, that really was an eye-opener to them, to see all those South African children that they didn't have hardly anything.
Yes.
Yet at the midst of all that, what was really striking to them, it was the fact that these people are still very happy and thankful and are singing, you know.
Yes.
That's something that really impacted them, that, you know, things that we have are not things that really fulfill our life or make us happy, but rather it is the spirit that we have that God can really fill us with and give us that inner joy and contentment in whatever circumstances. We learn to be content and happy. And indeed, I thank God that God is the one actually who raised up Nick.
Amen.
It is not us. Now, we can't take a credit. I can't take a credit, really. It's all God
that's
doing an amazing, amazing job.
That's wonderful. Our friend Johnny Erickson Tata says, I highly recommend Raising the Perfectly Imperfect Child to anyone who has questions about bringing up a special needs son or daughter. Its powerful and very personal message will bless any parent who longs to show the unbiased love of Christ within their family. That from Johnny Erickson Tata. And folks, I would just encourage you, get hold of this book. It is a powerful book that not only is a testimony and a very moving story, but it is filled with rich insight and instruction that would bless any parent. So I encourage you to get it. Again, the title is Raising the Perfectly Imperfect Child, and the author is Boris Voyachich. Boris, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. May God bless you richly. Please give my regards to your son. And one of these days, we'll have him back on the program, I trust. Nick is now the married father of two.
That's right. We are very thankful to have the grandchildren. And thank you very much for the privilege to be on your radio program. And may your listeners indeed be blessed. And I wish everybody happy Father's Day and a blessing in their life and their challenges they face. Jesus is the answer.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.